Well, good morning, church. Happy birthday. And show of hands, how many people have been here since day one? Can I have a hand up? I see that hand. These people need an incredible round of applause for sticking it out. Yeah. Awesome. Wow, there's so much I'd love to do, but this morning, next Sunday, I believe, or within the next week or two, we're going to introduce all of our new elders to you. There's two more that weren't up here today, and we're just really excited. Pray for one more, and if you have any input to that, please feel free to send me a note. As we've been walking through a process, we have an 11-step process that we bring people through, and we involve our district in all of this to make sure there's lots of checks and balances where appropriate. But they are telling us, keep it in your church from now on, Jerry. So we'll be working and reworking our process in the future. We're excited about the leadership that God has given to us. I've been asked to share some thoughts that came out of our annual meeting because there seemed to be something that God was doing in that evening. And also, it fits very well for our anniversary service. And so I want to do that. I want to take you then through a process that has been going on in me for a few years, and then also in the life of our elders and staff. And then I want to be able to just share with you what we believe God is calling us to as a church. To frame where we're going, I want to encourage you with a passage from Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, and this is a very strong and motivational encouragement for our church, so I want to just read the scripture, we're going to unpack it, and I just trust that today, as a result of our time together, you'll be motivated actually to really lean in, to get involved in the life of your church. Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. It's a powerful message speaking about the presence and the power and the glory of God coming upon his people. It is application to us in the form of a challenge here this morning that we, Summit Community Church, would rise and shine. Arise, church. It's a very relevant exhortation, for the church is often sitting. The church is often idle in a culture and a world that so desperately needs the church to be active, to be real, to be authentic, to be out there. Oh, church, arise. We're also called to shine. And again, a very relevant exhortation to the church, for the church has often hidden herself, hidden her light. Jesus said, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. You light a lamp and put it on a stand so it lights the whole room. Shine. Arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is shining on you. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. You don't cover up your light. Jesus said in Matthew 5:19, let your light so shine before men and women in this culture so that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Arise, church, stand. Stand against the onslaught of unrighteousness and injustice and oppression that is happening in our very world. And sometimes we have this feeling that it's happening around the world in different places. We think that, for example, human trafficking is happening way over in Asia or parts of Eastern Europe. But friends, did you know in this last year and a bit, over 200 young girls and women in York Region have been rescued by York Regional Police out of human trafficking, enslavement, as they are moved every 2 to 3 days from hotels all along the 905 here in York Region. 200, and those are the only ones who've been rescued. Church, it's time for the church to stand up and wake up. Shine. There is injustice and unrighteousness all over, from deep within us that we often ignore, that we try to cover, to the blatant expressions of it in our culture. Church, it's time to take off whatever is hindering His glory from shining through you. It's time for us as a church to remove whatever's hiding the glory of God from shining in our culture. It's time for us as individual members of this church to empty ourselves of whatever's hindering us and being filled with the Spirit and His power again. I've seen the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in churches. I'll never forget hearing the stories, seeing the pictures. When President Hearn was here, when I was overseas, and to see some 80 or so people up here on their knees before God. And I want to thank you for praying for me last week as I spoke all weekend at the Zion Chinese Alliance Church retreat. There's about 140 all weekend and 180 on Sunday. And as Sunday evening, I gave the message for people to respond, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I was calling them out with my eyes closed, and I was praying and asking people to just, no music ending, take a stand. If you want to feel the Holy Spirit's power and invite His presence to come in and fill you to overflowing. And I opened my eyes, and I was overwhelmed. There's over 100 people from that congregation were standing to their feet, hands raised to heaven, wanting to experience the fullness of God's Spirit. You had a hand in that because many of you prayed. But church, this is the kind of thing that we're talking about so that the Holy Spirit would work through us. Why is that? Because the text tells us that there is darkness across the land and on the peoples. Sometimes when we live here in York Region, we forget that literal darkness is all over the place for people who do not trust and believe in Jesus Christ. The souls of people in our world are being crushed under the dark weight of evil, of sin and oppression and injustice. There's no question about this. They are suffering under the weight of their own habits and the hurts they can't release and the hang-ups that they wrestle with day and night. But with our affluence, we can just hide it better than other places in our city, like downtown. People are suffocating under the darkness of disconnectedness, loneliness, and depression. And they're also being drained under the subtle dimming of their soul by the worries of affluence, by the pressures of busyness and exhaustion, and the sheer emptiness that it leaves them. Friends, there is darkness around the land and the people. Arise, church. Shine. For His glory will be seen upon you. He says in that passage that nations will come to your light. Oh, God's heart has always been for every single nation in the world, every ethnic group, every people group. And He is drawing thousands and thousands of people from around the world into our region. And we will see the intercultural dynamic of our church grow if we will open our hearts to people. And sometimes our own fears and intimidation, sometimes our own embarrassment because we feel we won't be able to pronounce their names or something, keeps us back. The nations will come to your light, church. That means wherever you are in your community, as you shine for Christ, there's an attractive quality about that. Arise, Summit, and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's not about our fame or our skill. It's not about who we are. It's the glory of the Lord shining on us. Because the glorious love of God has a magnetic attractiveness. The gracious truth of Jesus stands firm in the mire of relativism and the relentless drivel of mere human opinion. The presence and the relationship and the power of the Holy Spirit distinguishes life in God's kingdom from the religious enslavement that religion offers to try to earn our effort and attention and approval of God somewhere out there. No, the presence of the Holy Spirit and living in His kingdom is just so different. We do things in response of gratitude and love to what God has been doing in us. I want to bring to our remembrance, it was on an anniversary just not a few years ago when President Dave Hearn showed up here unannounced. But he came here and he was out circling our building where we're meeting, this very building, early in the morning, praying and praying and praying for this church. And God gave him a word, and we actually asked for it. We took it, transcribed it. He gave us a copy of it and made sure the two matched. And here's what I just want to remind us, he said this, and the elders affirmed, the staff, that this was a word of God for our church. The wind of the Spirit is blowing in Summit Community Church. Watch for what moves. Pay attention to what you feel. I'm doing a new thing. Sometimes the wind will feel strong. But don't be alarmed. I'm blowing away the chaff. I will not share my glory with another. Every idol must be removed. Every reliance on past success or current advances must not distract from my presence. The wind that is blowing is the revelation of my glory. The alliance began with a humble, ordinary group of believers who became intoxicated with the presence and the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was a fullness of my glory that compelled them to go to the nations. This is the wind that is blowing again. It will not be technique, ingenuity, or expertise that will compel Summit Community Church forward. It will be a fresh revelation of my glory. Settle for nothing less. Reject all substitutes. Embrace the wind, for the nations of the world await. We felt so strongly that God had spoken to us through our president that we made that the very framework for an entire solemn assembly where we took sections of that every single night. We blocked off nights and we focused on different parts of that. Friends, this isn't something that we just forget about. I've got a copy of that in my office by my credenza. I've got one in our home above our computer at home. And I pray for that. Do you believe? We pray for that. Rose, if you're here this morning, let's make sure, let's get this. If someone would want a copy of this, put it so you can pray. We'll get you a copy of that. And you pray for this. Now, one of the new things that God is doing and leading the church in differently than it has for many, many decades upon decades upon decades is how He's leading His church. It is not by technique or expertise. Rather, God is revealing Himself to those leadership teams who surrender themselves and listen together to His voice. Now, I need to give you some context here because this is very practical. I want to share a word that was given to us as a church, but I just want to talk about this and set a context. During my tenure when I was on the Christian Missionary Alliance National Board of Directors, we underwent a presidential change. And this is not in any way to despise the previous president, for he moved many things forward. What our new president, David Hearn, who is speaking in our church a number of times, is a man of the full of the Holy Spirit of God. And he began to speak to us about how the Spirit is speaking loudly to the Alliance in Canada. And this president, Dave, along with the chairman, Steve Kerr, and the vice chairman, Lauren Fredlin, were serving as peer mentors to me in this whole area about how to set aside your natural drive and to gather your natural expertise and begin to think about hearing and discerning the voice of God. For God still speaks. He will never contravene his word. But he speaks. I was then approached by John and Lorraine Berrigan, who were the former CEO of the Willow Creek Association in Canada. And through multiple meetings with me, they finally convinced me to come and at least discover, introduce me to a flow, into the flow of a movement that is happening across Canada, across denominations, where God is renewing churches from east to west in very dynamic ways. And they are returning to foundational historic faith practices, one of which is learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm presently being mentored by a leader who is at the epicenter of this movement in Steinbach, Manitoba, of all places, Ray Dirksen. It's been a new and exciting journey, one that Leah and I and our staff and elders are still learning to get better at. But I thank God for godly elders who, although they are proficient and could do strategic planning in their sleep, submit themselves and take their direction from Christ Himself. And we're just going to lean more and more into that. We're seeing a new openness across the land to the church to discern Jesus' specific directions and next steps for churches. And we may not get the whole picture like we used to in laying out a 5-year strategic plan, but Jesus speaks clearly about next steps. You see, in many churches, Jesus is kind of a figurehead leader, like the Queen of England is to Canada. But in the Christian and Missionary Alliance and in Summit, we are committed to see Jesus as the functional leader of this church. Literally. As we wait on him, get our marching orders from him. And a big part of that process is submitting our own thoughts and ideas before him. And then in response to what he says, to move out in faith. So this is the context that I want to bring you to this morning. That one day, January 21st, sitting under the sunshine in West Palm Beach, Florida, God speaks clearly there. I was reading through the prophets. I've shared with this you before. I'd avoided them for a long time on a devotional way, and I went through all of the prophets, but I was picking up my reading, that's every day, through studying and prayerfully, devotionally working through, and I came to Isaiah chapter 54. And as I read, the Holy Spirit burned into my being, enlivened to my soul, two verses of scripture. They just came jumping out of the page. In such a way that I knew that this was a message to pay attention to. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3, here were the words. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Underline that phrase. Lengthen your cords. Underline this one. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. I read those words over and over and over, and I sought the Lord of why he pressed them so heavily upon me. And frankly, I needed the discernment of others around me to discern, was this a personal word for Jerry? Or was this a word for our church? I knew it was significant. On February the 16th, I brought it to our elders' meeting and explained the context of how I received this word, and I asked them if they had any discernment on these verses. Was it for me or the church? As some of you know what's happening, obviously, in the life of Leah and her just, you know, the call of God to minister to these kids. And I said, Lord, was this for me? And I continue to pray and seek God over that. But on that night, after some initial discussion, the elders decided to seek the Lord for direction and pray over this for 1 month. So at the elders' meeting on March the 15th, we shared our thoughts. It was unanimous that they believed that this was a word for the Lord for Summit. We shared some thoughts as to what they sensed the Lord seemed to be saying to us or showing us. The overarching message that we sensed the Lord saying was, move the vision ahead. In spite of all the property access issues. The phrase, don't hold back, seems to grip our hearts. Because we realized the last time we did a strategic plan at Summit, we carried it out by purchasing land, and then the last step in that was to build our first building. And then it hit us that we had been holding in a holding pattern for years without a substantial direction and moving forward because we thought this was imminent. And next thing you know, some years went by. Now we know we are to move the vision forward, to step out in faith and expand the influence of the ministry and to risk for the sake of the thousands of people who do not know Christ and who are needing Him. So we committed together as elders, because I've been working a similar process simultaneously with the staff, that we would get together and walk through a discernment process to hear the voice of God about what the application of this would look like. So on Thursday, April the 12th, the elders took time off work. Hear that. They took time off work and met together with our staff to work through a process together to discern from the Lord what we sensed His leading us to do in the application of the verses that He gave us and the sense that we are to move the vision ahead. So as we listened to the voice of the Spirit together, we sensed He was calling us to a few things. What did moving the vision ahead mean? Well, before we get to actually the action steps of moving the vision ahead, the thing, strengthen your stakes, really gripped our hearts. We believe that there is work that we have to do to shore up the present ministry, to strengthen our processes, to strengthen the present church through issues like church renewal and hearing God and set free weekends that will be coming down the pipe in this new year, where we get to actually work through processes to do fierce moral inventories, and then we practice the ancient practices of confession of one another's sin to one another. It's going to freak some of you out, but I'm telling you, for those of us who have gone through this, it is just an unbelievable path to health and wholeness and joy. Working on our discipleship team process to clearly identify a process for us to grow in our faith. We added some classes, as you'll remember, through the scripture, survey courses of the scripture, and got people interested in studying the Bible one again. We're going to strengthen our present missional partners, shore up the ministry, strengthen your stakes. Then moving the vision ahead, here's what we discern, that God, four big principles. They were increase our community's awareness of Summit. I'm going to give you the four, then I'm going to go back and explain them. Secondly, expand our local community service and outreach. And I'll explain this one. Add a fourth 4S partner. I'll explain that. And number four, discern the area for Summits through prayer where in their future we will establish our first Summit site. Church plant. So let me go back. We are to increase the community's awareness of Summit. We're York Region's best kept secret. I believe it. And so, in earnest, since that day, the staff has been working hard with others, and we've done things like we began to sponsor, we got our name on the sponsorship and paid sponsorship for the Oak Ridges Fair that happens just, you know, the next, you know, few streets over. Got our name up on the sign. Conversations have happened to maybe bring a band in next year. Summit's presence at the Oak Ridges Fair would just be able to grow. The institution of Wild West Fall Fest again appeared. Do you think that was just because we were looking for work? Do we think that's just because you weren't doing anything and you needed that? No. It was to increase our community's awareness of Summit Community Church. And it appeared in Snap Magazine. It was fantastic. We put signs on the property. Working on website improvements. Where we discovered that about 90% of the people or 95% of the people who don't come on the arm of someone who's new here find us on the web. So we got to work that really well. And last two Sundays ago, you'll recall, we had about 35 volunteers serving down at Run for the Cure. And right by the start and finish line, the very first booth, right beside the line, was Summit Community Church's canopies and all of the stuff going on. Increasing our awareness in our community that Summit exists. But then to take it steps deeper and actually expand our local community service and outreach. We want to strengthen and celebrate recovery, and we had opportunities to share stuff at the run, and every chance we get, we put Celebrate Recovery materials out wherever we can. We want to see our TAC ministry strengthen, our local service and ministry outreach. And some of us got to go a couple Sunday nights ago with Bill and his team, and we did a prayer walk downtown all around the region of where they're trying to reach and a brand new building that they're in negotiations with. We laid hands on it, and we wept and prayed out for God to move there. Why? Because I have nothing to do on Sunday? No. Because we want to expand our local community outreach. Immediately, conversations happened with the York Region Catholic District School Board about their ESL program and Canadian citizenship courses. And actually, they agreed to allow Summit Community Church to be a pilot project. And as soon as they get enough people registering from our community, they're going to be actually on our property, in our garage, holding workshops and stuff maybe three mornings a week. We've had conversations with other community groups that are just in infancy stage, or we're doing research to see whether or not we're going to leverage into it, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel, friends. We can actually engage in some very meaningful ministries going on already. So there's been conversations with Belinda's Place, helping women who are homeless or are threatened with homelessness. I mean, conversations that we could actually maybe do Alpha there and some other things. When they heard that we had Celebrate Recovery, they asked, do you do step studies? And we say, yes. And they asked, oh, might we be able to bring some people down in a van to actually be part of your step studies? God just beams. It just seems that when we made a decision and we took a step forward, God starts parting the waters. God starts working. There have been conversations, and the team went downtown in Richmond Hill to a ministry called 360 Kids. We're assisting homeless and at-risk youth. And our team met with them. I was not there, but I heard incredible reports of what's going on and potential for us to do some things. We're just in conversations. Also, in Newmarket, with our sister church, Valley View Alliance, who have initiated a place called You Are Home. And this is a shelter for young women rescued victims of human sexual trafficking. There's going to be other things. But we're taking steps because God told us, move the vision ahead, and we discern together, expand our local community service and outreach. So we want to take steps in those directions. Rise, church. Shine, for your light has come. Then I talked about this, the 4S partnership we have. Now, what in the world is that? Well, let me put up, the Christian Missionary Alliance has developed different regions in the world. Each one is a different place. So in Canada, we have C2C. We have the Caribbean Sun region, which is Central America, the Caribbean region, North, South America. We've got Desert Sand, This is where we've got a partnership with LISA in Niger, but in the desert sand region. Above that is the Silk Road, and that's in the areas of Turkey, Azerbaijan, Iran, Iraq. And then Asian Spice, where we have our partnership with Kim. And so we have three partnerships already functioning for over 10 years, C2C with Bill and Donna Dick down at Toronto Alliance Church. We've obviously got Asian Spice going very strong with Kimbui and the ministry in Siem Reap, Cambodia. We want to strengthen our engagement. I've been in conversation already with Lisa Rorick as to how can we serve that mission better. But the God laid it on our hearts that we needed to do something in the Caribbean Sun region. Now, I had nothing to do with that. That was an idea, came from the elders. But it could be somewhere, anywhere from Costa Rica, Mexico City, Venezuela, you know, Haiti, in that whole region. And we've had two Skype calls. Scott has had two Skype calls with the regional developers for Caribbean Sun. And the reason is not to neglect any. We're going to strengthen those, but also because many students can't afford some of the trips way down. And some of you who are in business and marketplace, you can't take the 12-hour time warp. But you might have a week to give where you could go down and stay in a very similar time zone and go down and serve for a week or so and come back. So we want to open up this that'll give us a lot more engagement with people in the overseas side of mission work. So we want to strengthen the fourth S, and we sense it's in this region. The vision of our church long term is that we'd have a partner in every 5S region of the world. And I can't wait for that. Now do we understand, we say 5S, you know what you mean, you're talking about? It's a C2C, Caribbean Sun, Silk Road, Desert Sand, and Asian Spice. So we're hoping that we'll be able to establish a new partnership in the Caribbean Sun region. You see, God's vision for Summit is growing. We begin to prayerfully discern and think about what's happening in our own region, here in York region. And this is to begin to discern an area for our first site. You see, healthy organisms multiply. Healthy followers of Jesus multiply themselves in making other followers of Jesus and strengthening them so that they in turn can help other people grow in their faith. Here's some crazy things that are happening in our own region. Georgina Keswick Sutton area is going to grow to over 65,000 people very soon. You know, Stouffville doubled in size in 5 years, according to the Census Canada. Richmond Hill was told by the province in May to add 40% more population to Richmond Hill and change their plans. What's happening in Uxbridge and King City, Aurora, and Innisfil? We have people, do you know we have people that drive all the way from Innisfil to come here? They were part of this church and they love it so much they've moved up to Innisfil for the housing issues. And they come and drive down every week. Did you know that there's going to be 300,000 seniors in Richmond Hill over the next 15 years? I've been talking about this almost since the beginning of our church. It's in a file somewhere, but I brought it out last year and started talking to our staff and threw it by the elders. I always thought it would happen when we would enter into doing our third service. But we're going to wait on the Lord on this. But I can't wait for the day when every church around us is moving away to try to be really contemporary. 300,000 seniors in Richmond Hill. I think that we should develop a service that's maybe a little more toned down and a little more have some more traditional elements for them. Not to satisfy complaining Christians, but to be missional in reaching 300,000 seniors in our culture. I can't wait for that day to see that happen. I might have to throw a jacket on, maybe. But friends, we've got to see this, that as Summit, we must multiply ourselves. There are too many thousands of people that are reaching in, and we know that new churches attract more people and win more people for Christ than old existing churches. The research is unequivocal. It's straight about that. And I know there's all kinds of details jumping up in everyone's minds right now. It did in ours. When? How are we going to divide this family up? On and on, we're going to go, how are we going to handle this? I love being a part of this church and all this. These are all details we're going to work out. All we know is the Lord said, start to pray to discern your next step, where to put your first sight, because we believe that God's going to call us to do a number of them over the next however many years, 20 years. Healthy churches multiply. Yeah, but we've got a building to build. It's not either or. It's both and. Because this church is going to continue to reach more and more people. And these churches are going to be very connected. We've already talked about this. In fact, here's what our vision is calling us to be. And that is that it's calling us to become a family of loving communities that intentionally follow Jesus and sacrificially express his presence in our world. It's a family of loving communities, not just one. And we'll stay very connected. And we'll bring teaching to all of them, and we'll rotate our pastors through at times, and we'll stay. We can share youth ministries and different things like that until the others are sustainable enough. We're going to stay very connected. And I could just see us one or two times a year bringing all of us under the same umbrella and having a great celebration. I foresee us bringing all of our actual pastors on those sites together, and we'll develop a summit series every year where we get to go, and then we'll all rotate all through each site, and each of us will take one of those and we'll bring it to our summit family. Yeah, there's a lot of details to work out, but we're just following step by step. And I don't know about you, if that creates fear in you, I just get really excited. For God's vision calls us to act, church. It calls us to leverage faith, to exercise faith. I believe that Summit is going to be like Caleb and Joshua, not like the other 10 spies that went into the land and give us every single reason why we can't do it. But I believe that the heart of Summit says, no, we're like Caleb and Joshua. We must do this. We must. It's going to ignite prayer like never before. We need prayer more than ever, and you're going to see us helping us do that with the prayer summits, and we're going to teach on prayer. We need us to pray like crazy these days. And it's going to call for our full commitment. It will. We're going to need to engage in all of the support and involvement and ministry that we can. So, church, don't hold back. Arise, church. Shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations will come to your light. And then in verse 22 it says, for I am the Lord, in time I will hasten it. I will hasten it. I'm excited to be a part of this spiritual family. I'm excited that God has spoken to us. I'll look for his creative answers to how he's going to bring this about. But I don't want to miss a moment. Do you? Oh, don't pass us by, God. Don't pass us by. So, Summit, rise. Shine. for your light has come. Let's pray. Oh God, I thank you so much that you love your church, that you, through your Holy Spirit, communicate with your church. And you don't just enliven your word, but within its wonderful and safe parameters, you actually speak to us. Your word tells us that you do. Your spirit bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. We see how the Spirit, all the way through the book of Acts, spoke to the church, set them on courses of direction. Oh God, we want to be that kind of a church that is deeply committed to the apostles' teaching and the Word of God, but that is passionate for the love of people who don't know you. We just want to love them and reach them and bring the good news and love and the presence of Christ, the hope that He brings. And we ask, oh God, that you would fill us with faith as a congregation. We pray that you would speak to us and bring greater clarity to the details, that you would open up doors of ministry and avenues for engagement. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill us anew and afresh like never before. Lead us to pray. Lead us to full engagement. And I just so look forward to look back one day when we're all sitting in heaven with you, that maybe, Lord, you might gather some community together and just say, man, remember, against all odds and every reason why we shouldn't, you obeyed me. And now look at all of the people, brothers and sisters, that are in the kingdom of God. Oh, Father, fill us with that kind of faith. Let it lift us above our own petty preoccupations, our own comforts. For it's worth it. You said, Lord, if we lose our lives for you in the sake of the kingdom, we will find it. Fulfill your word. And I pray that each of us individually and all of us collectively would receive your word today to arise and to shine. And oh, we pray for the glory of the Lord will shine upon us, that the nations would know you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.